some good order that we're able to have, be praying for us as we go forward. You know, I was just talking to the youth pastor about people with false doctrine that are being trained to get out there and share their lies in a very skillful way. And it's like Satan, as we come closer to the end, is really pushing for false doctrine. And we really need to seek the old-time power of God so that we can win out over the false teachers that are so prevalent in these last days. And I'm thinking this morning of two books in the Bible. One is the book of Acts that deals with what's called the Acts of the Apostles. And really what we see there in the book of Acts is the gospel going forward from Jerusalem to Rome, changing lives, conquering evil. And it's because it's really the Holy Spirit working through the apostles and through the men of God and women of God in the early church. And my, do we need that kind of revival of the old time power of God. But there's another book, and it is just the opposite of that, and that book is the Acts of the Apostates. And that is the book of Jude, the second to the last book in the Bible, and that is not the movement of God in and through people to spread the good news. That's the movement of Satan to pull people away. People that say they're of God, but then they pull out, they unplug, they leave the Lord and his work. And so this morning I want to preach a message called Seek the Acts of the Holy Spirit whenever you see the Acts of the Apostates. Seek the book of Acts whenever you see the book of Jude, and that's what we need, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you yield to the Holy Spirit, he can do great things in your life. I was at Thursday night soul winning with Eric Rodriguez, and we went out soul winning, and we went up to Jessup. And I thank God for our secretary. She maps these things out and plans visits and organized, you know, it's so important. And so we went up there to visit, and I went to visit an apartment next to a bar where one of our bus kids was. And I looked across the street and saw a house, and it had a bunch of people there, and some of these kids that I thought were living up next to the bar, but they were all at this house. So in the meantime, a guy was running up who is their stepfather, and Eric talked to him and started to give him the gospel. I went to the house, and there was a lady there at the house. She was the grandma named Mary. She's coming next week. There was another lady there, the mother of these kids. And then the kids were there, some of the kids. And the lady, the grandmother, started asking me about the Jehovah Witness Bible. And she had a question about it. And I had her bring it out. And then she had a King James Bible. And I had her bring that out. And I read what was in the Jehovah Witness Bible. And I showed how it's a Jehovah false witness, that they're taking words out of their Bible, quote unquote. And then I had her go to John 1, and I had Eric came down, then Eric Rodriguez, I had him read in the King James what it said, in the beginning is the Word, John 1:1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, capital W, capital G. And then I said, okay, Eric, would you read that in the New World Translation, the fake Bible of the Jehovah's Witness, and it goes, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, okay, that's good, and the Word was with God, capital G, okay, that's good, and the Word was a God. You get that? A God, small g. And the Jehovah's Witness don't believe Jesus is equal with the Father, that he is God. And they confuse people, and they don't believe there is a hell. And so they don't have it right. And I was able to say, let's do a Bible study. You take your King James now. Let's get rid of that. She said it would be all right if I threw this in the trash. It was a nice leather-bound, you know, I said, that's where it should go. And but anyway, we got the King James, and we went through Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 and 10, and 13. We went through it all. And guess what? She called upon the Lord. And guess what? The son was there, of the mom who was there. He was 14. He said, I want to get saved. And he called on the Lord as his Savior. And then it was getting pretty late. We'd been out quite a bit. Eric Rodriguez was witnessing to some teenagers as well. And I said, do you want to keep going? He said, time is no object, Pastor. Eric is in Florida for a couple weeks now. But we went up to another visit, and we finally found the visit. Alicia had laid it out for it, knocked on the door, and we were invited in. And it was a mom that came to church. For the first time, her name was Tiffany, right? Tiffany. Is that right? The right name? What is it? Amber? Oh, I think we got that confused. But anyway, I'm going to say Amber. Okay. It's different. It's different. That's, no, we're up in Jessup now. But anyway, Amber came too. So we talked to Tiffany and her daughter, and they both prayed to receive Christ. What I'm saying to you is the Holy Spirit can work through us and get people saved. And it is what we should seek. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Call upon him for power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And that's what God wants. He wants us to have our sails up, and that means we're available to go witnessing. We're available. Eric is down in Florida, your son. He said, you know what, Pastor? I want to just be available. When there's opportunity, I want to ask people about their souls. And he's going to do that. And he's getting the opportunity to lead people to the Lord. And so I'm just saying this morning, seek the acts of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you see those acts of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be blessed. But if you see the acts of the apostles, the acts of the apostates, we need to seek the acts of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you want more influence and impact of the Holy Spirit in your life and through your life? Do you want to see that in your family, with your children, your mate? Do you want to see that with your friends and relatives? Do you want to see that in this community that we're in? More of the influence and impact. You see, the Holy Spirit is like the tide. There are times when the tide comes in, the great ocean tide, and lifts the boats up, you know, it lifts everything up. And there are times when the tide goes back. And I don't want the ebbing of the Holy Spirit's influence. I want the coming in of the Holy Spirit's influence. And that's what the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him for the influence of the Holy Spirit. But you see, unfortunately, this morning, I'm also thinking of the letter of the Apostle Jude to warn you of just the opposite of that influence and impact of the Spirit of Christ. There you see the withdrawing, and you see Satan coming in with his false teaching. And it's the acts of the apostates that you see there. And so I want to say three things from Jude 16 through 23 about the acts of these apostates in Jude. And I want to say, seek the acts of the Holy Spirit whenever you see these acts of these apostates. And number one, I want to say, by your recognizing the apostates' description. Look with me, first of all, at verse 17 of Jude. It says there, and I'll read it, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people say, well, you see, Jude is not an apostle. He must be the brother of the Lord that was saved after the resurrection. A lot of people believe that, but I believe the New Testament was either written by the apostles or under the supervision directly of the apostles. So I believe this was the apostle Jude. You say, which Jude was that? Judas, not Iscariot. There were two Judases. And Judas, not Iscariot, was the brother of James the Less, which is James the son of Alphaeus. That's who he was. And I believe he was an apostle. And And people say, well, how could he be an apostle? He says here, remember the words of the apostle. Well, so did Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:7. So did Paul in Romans 16:7. He spoke about the apostles, but he himself was one. It doesn't matter. He's just speaking of the apostles. It's understood that he's one. Same thing here. So here is an apostle, listen to me, talking about the acts of the apostates. He wanted to write about the grace of God and all the good things God, but he was impelled by the Holy Spirit to write. You know, I want to pray for revival. I want to see God's influence through the Holy Spirit working in my life, working through my life. But I have to recognize there are apostates. And you say, well, Pastor, what is an apostate? It means somebody that once stood where you stand and claimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and claimed to believe the Bible and claimed to be born again and claimed all these things, but now they're standing away from you and they're criticizing it. They're standing away from their former quote-unquote faith. And why are they doing that? The Bible says here, there's a description of the apostates that you need to see, and you need to understand that description of these apostates as we read about it. And Jude was going to warn the people about it. Now, when you think of an apostate, think of what Donald Trump calls fake news. How many have ever heard of fake news? Yeah, got a lot of fake news out there today. Well, this is a fake Christian. He claimed to be a Christian, but he turned out to be a counterfeit, and therefore he left. The Bible says they went out from us because they were not of us. That is the act of apostate, going against what he used to claim to believe. And you know how you can find an apostate? Dr. Rembert Carter, my former professor in college, he said they have experts that can detect counterfeit dollar bills. I'm not an expert. One time a lady gave me $6 $100 bills, said she owed me, and I took them. Oh, I said, wow, that's great. She paid me what she owed me. I took them to the bank, and I went to deposit them, and the bank person goes, that's a counterfeit. That's a counterfeit. That's a counterfeit. Six of them were counterfeits. I go, okay, can you give me the real one now, the refund? No, you took the counterfeit. You're stuck with it. Yeah, but there are people that can immediately detect the counterfeit. And this was back in the day. He said what they would do, they would be in Washington, D.C. in a room, and they would just study the real bills all day. They just looked at the real thing. And when they saw a counterfeit, immediately they recognized it. And you know what? That's what you and I need to do. If we want to recognize a counterfeit, we need to really spend all day looking at Jesus, getting close to God, getting in the Word of God. And then when you see a fake Christian, you will understand it. Well, you say, well, what is a fake Christian? Well, look at Jude 16. This is an apostate. We want to see the description. It says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in advantage, because of advantage. Now listen, what's that talking about? A person that is an apostate will complain about the food in a Baptist church. You say, what are you talking about? We're having banana split Sunday. What's wrong with that? I'm not talking about that food. They will complain about the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And it reminds me of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. The Bible said there was a mixed multitude. And in other words, some people came with the Jewish people. They were not the people of God, but they came with them because it was exciting. They were going on this journey that led to the promised land. You know, these great things happen in Egypt, and they got in the bandwagon and they said, we're going to go. But then they got in the wilderness. There's no water. They complain, and got others around them to complain. Then there was no food. Well, there was food, but it was called manna. It was angel's food. God gave it every morning, and it was nice food. But they said, oh, this isn't the spicy Egyptian food, the leeks and the garlics. Oh, this is not good. We're sick of this. We're sick of this. I'm saying an apostate is a person that will get into a Christian family, a Christian church, and claim to be a Christian, and then they'll say, oh, I complain about this church. It just doesn't have what I need. I need some dancing. I need some rock and roll. I need some bar hopping. I need some honky tonking. I just, it's boring in this church. Well, it's boring because these are the acts of the apostate. It says walking after their own lust. What does that mean? That means they walk after their own desires and they get a habit of life of that, and so they complain. And then I want you to notice in verse 18, still talking about the description of these apostates, it says in verse 18 how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now, you know what a mocker is, right? It's somebody that says, oh, that Baptist church is just broken down bunch of nothings. By the way, I'm glad our church building is getting fixed up. Amen. Elgin Gano's been doing a great job with Brother Job, just fixing. And I'm glad to see the progress. But I didn't mock it when it wasn't. I didn't curse the darkness. I want to light a candle. But that's all apostate would do, is just begin to mock and cut down and ridicule God's work and God's people. And that is not a good thing, because remember Nehemiah, when he was going to build the wall in the book of Nehemiah, God told him to build a wall, and he had people building the wall, and Sanballat and Tobiah and the people of the land that were not part of the people of God, they mocked them. They said, that wall that you're building, even if a fox went up on top of that wall, he'd knock it down. You ever have anybody come into the church that you knew and just mock it? That's not a good sign. See, the Bible says that that is one of the descriptions of the apostates. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, the closer we get to Jesus coming back, it says in the last days, there's going to be mockers. And they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? I thought you said we'd be raptured out of here. Look, we have a great world leader. Look, we have great things. That's the Christ, not this Jesus that was supposed to rapture you out of here. It's going to happen. And a lot of people are going to be influenced by these mockers and these complainers who do not want you. They complain about the manna. They complain about the Baptist church. Listen to me. Don't be pulled away. Seek instead the acts of the Holy Spirit whenever you see the acts of the apostates. And I've just read to you the description of these apostates. I'll read one more verse. It says in verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. You say, why do they separate themselves? They separate themselves because they're sick and bored with a Baptist church. They're sick and bored with what we're all about. And they say, I'm going to go to another kind of church, a more liberal church that denies the real tenets of the faith. I'm going to go there where there's no judging of sin and preaching again. I'm going to go there where it's not so narrow. But didn't Jesus say it's a narrow way that leads to life? Few there be that find. Why do they do that? They're sensual. That means they have their five senses, but they don't have the Spirit. Verse 19 says, they don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you'll be easily sucked away. I'm saying this morning, seek whenever you see the acts of the apostates, seek the Holy Spirit and the acts of the apostles. And that is the description. But secondly, seek the acts of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you see the acts of the apostates, not only by recognizing the apostates' description, but by your realizing the apostles' demonstration. And that's in verse 20 and 21. I'll read the first part of verse 20. You follow. It says there, "But ye, beloved," notice that, that's those that are really born-again Christians and that really are being blessed in a Baptist church. "But ye, beloved," and I'll read it again, "but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." You see, instead of just recognizing the description of the apostates, you need to realize the apostles' demonstration. And how are you going to have that apostles' demonstration of what a real Christian is? You're going to have it by building yourself up. How many have ever heard of bodybuilding? Yeah. I went down to Florida. My son was telling me I got on this special diet years ago, and I ate real good, and I lost all this weight. He said, I lost maybe 40 pounds. I was really thin. He said, then I started taking, creatine. But I guess it was the kind that built him up. He built up, and he got these big muscles and all this stuff. And but they have a kind of creatine now called, what is it, Bobby? Monohydrate, and there's a name for it. It's real pure. Yeah, it's purified creatine. It's not anabolic steroid. Anyway, I went on a fast, didn't eat a while, lost all this weight when I came back from Florida, and I started taking this creatine, the good kind. And it doesn't build up big muscles, but it strengthens your muscles along with exercise. You know? And I started, you know, it was good. It was good for the body. Well, a lot of people are concerned about their body, but how about your spiritual bodybuilding? It says building yourself up on your most holy faith. In other words, God wants you to build yourself up on the Word of God, and you need to see that that's what's needed. In fact, in Acts 2, 41 and 42, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word," that's the gospel being preached by Peter, they heard the word, they were saved. It says, "Then they were immediately baptized, and in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." In other words, they became members of the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers." So these people, they got saved by believing the gospel. They got baptized right away, which you should do. That's putting on the uniform. Then it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's Bible teaching. That's what builds you up spiritually. And then they had fellowship. What's fellowship? That means they joined in the work of giving the gospel and doing the work of the church. And then they had breaking bread. What's that? That is the Lord's table. How many of you are saved, baptized? Don't raise your hand, but you took the Lord's table last time we had it. They took the Lord's table. That's adoration. They adored Jesus. They worshiped. And then they had what's called supplication and prayer. They had prayer and supplication. That's what it says. So they had edification. They had evangelization. They had adoration and supplication. What I'm saying to you is you're supposed to be building yourself up in the Word of God. Are you doing it? Are you reading this King James Bible? Are you getting church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday? Are you saved, baptized, a member of the local church, a Bible-believing church? That's what you do when you recognize the acts of the apostates. Then, you see, what you do is you realize the apostles' demonstration by doing these things. And notice verse 20, again, the second part, it says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, you need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, many Baptists, they may hear the Bible preached, but they don't come to prayer meeting and pray. They don't pray in their private life and get things from God. When's the last time you had an answer to prayer? When's the last time you got something from God? And so he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is in you to help you to pray. And that's how you're going to demonstrate what the apostles had, the power to witness, the power, not just to witness, but to do it with effect when you're witness. And it comes through prayer. It's interesting, that lady I mentioned to you Thursday night, I went to her house, Mary, and she had that Jehovah Witness Bible. And she said, Pastor, how do you explain this? Look at Matthew 17:21. Okay, I went to read it in the King James Bible. It said a whole verse. In the Jehovah's Witness Bible, guess what it was? Just a little tick. Just nothing. It was just Matthew 17:21 and then nothing. But that's what it actually says in the King James. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You know why that's not there in the Jehovah's Witness Devil Bible? Because Satan knows that if people ever got a hold of praying with fasting, they could give him much more trouble. And they would demonstrate the power of God in their life. When's the last time you prayed with fasting for a day or two or three or five or 10 or 20 for something good from God? The devil doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to focus on prayer with power in the Holy Ghost. But God says that's what you need to do. And notice, not only that, not only building yourself up by Bible teaching and praying, but notice in verse 21 what it says for the demonstration of the apostles. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You say, how do I keep myself in the love of God? I thought God loves us and we're in the love of God. He's talking about really benefiting from God's love. You see, God does love us, but you won't benefit if you try to hoard it to yourself. Oh, I'll take the love, Lord. I'll take the blessings. I'll take it and I'll keep it for myself. No, you take it and then you have to give it out to others. You take in by your faith in God and by your praying and believing God, but you give it out when you serve and you do something. Do you have ministry where you're serving the Lord and serving other people? If you don't, you're not going to stay in the flow of God's love. You'll be like the Dead Sea. It takes all the water in from the Jordan River, and then it doesn't give out, and it's a dead sea. There are no fish in it. There's nothing alive in it. Why? Because it doesn't give out. You need to take it. That's what it means. Keep yourself in the love of God. Thank God you're here today taking in the Word of God. I hope you come back tonight. I hope you're reading your Bible. Yeah, you need that, but you need to give it out. And then there's one more thing to have the apostles' demonstration. We need, by realizing the apostles' demonstration, not just recognize the apostate's description. Notice what it says here in the next verse, or next part of that verse. Look what it says. For the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Are you looking for that? You say, well, what is that? What is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life? I'm glad you asked. Here's what it is. The more you take in the Word of God, the more you pray and get the Holy Spirit working through you, the more that you take in and give out and keep yourself in the flow of God's love, the more you're going to be uncomfortable in this world. The more you're going to realize this world is not my home. I don't fit in here. And the world, meanwhile, is going to get worse and worse. And it's going to come together more and more against God. And so there's going to be this big contrast. And what do you need? Mercy means, Lord, get me out of here. You say, how is the Lord going to get us out of here? He's going to rescue us by lifting us up into the clouds when he comes back again. And we're getting closer and closer to that day. And that's what it's talking about. Looking for Jesus to come back. Are you doing that? You see, we're talking about this morning, seek the acts of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you see the acts of the apostates, number one, by recognizing the apostate's description. Number two, by realizing the apostle's demonstration. And you do that when you build yourself up in this Bible, the real King James Bible, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you keep flowing with the love of God, and when you are looking for Jesus to come back. Are you doing that as a born-again believer? But number three, you can seek the acts of the Holy Spirit whenever you see the acts of the apostates by your rescuing the apostates' demolition. Notice what it says in verse 22. It says, "And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." He's talking about two different kinds of apostates. Apostates are fake Christians. We just described them, but he says you need to seek to save them. Are you seeking to save people? That's what we're here, to save people. I want to tell you, don't let apostasy get too far. I've been a pastor here for 48 years, and I've never seen somebody that was confronted for going against the Bible or living against the Bible. And then they were put on church discipline. And then after church discipline, they did not respond and finally had to just be removed from the membership of the church and treated just like somebody in the world. I've never seen that person come back. I hope I see one. I just haven't yet. And I know Peter says in 2 Peter, it's better for that person never to have heard the gospel and professed it than to be in that kind of place, because they didn't get saved and now they're hardened against it. That's a warning, you see. And so it says, seek to get them saved before that happens. And you say, how can I get them saved? All right, look real quickly at this verse here. It says, but ye beloved, I'm sorry, let me go back. And some, verse 22, have compassion, making a difference. That difference is not the difference in the life of somebody who gets saved. That preaches good, but really it means make a distinction between two different kind of apostates. One is the one you win them with love. You love them back. You see? You show love to them. You show them the love of Christ. You show them the example of Christ. You love them even when they're your enemies. You show love and show them the compassion of Christ. But others, it says, you warn them of hell and the fire and the pain forever and ever and ever, unless they really put their faith in Jesus and get saved and are really born again. And that's so important that the Bible says here that you're recognizing the apostate's description. Realize the apostle's demonstration and then rescuing the apostate's demolition. That's what God calls upon us to do. So watch out for those that are in the church that may become apostates unless they really get saved. Watch out for them in your family. Watch out for them in your relative. Because if it goes too far, it's too bad. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. We've been talking about your seeking the acts of the Holy Spirit whenever you see the acts of the apostates. I wonder, how about in your own life? Is there tendencies like this? Then you need to build yourself up. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. And you need to get around those that will encourage you to serve God. And look for Jesus. And you'll become uncomfortable with this world. But that's what you need. Do you see others around you and you just let them go? No, don't just let them go. Warn them. warn them of hell, try to win them with the love of God. Depending on their need, you meet that need and get these people saved for real so that they don't affect others and hurt others. Have you been saved yourself? If not, you need to repent of your unbelief and put your faith in Jesus. And once you get saved, you need to come and get baptized and get right with God. I wonder this morning, you say, "Preacher, I've got something in my life that I need to do, and I don't want to put it off." You say, "What is it that you're talking about?" Something you thought about during this message, something that God brought to your mind, something that you need to do. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need to make a decision and follow through on what God wants me to do to apply this message." If that's the case, would you raise your right hand and I'll pray for you? Just hold it up for a moment. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I appreciate your honesty. Anyone else, just hold it up and I'll see it. You can put it back down and I'll remember your prayer. I see that hand in the back. Listen, it's important you not be a forgetful hearer of what you heard. You have the description of the apostate, so you can recognize that. You have a realization of the demonstration of the acts of the apostles, so you can build yourself up to that. And then you have, thirdly, the need to rescue from the demolition of people in apostasy. And may God help us to do that this morning. I'm going to ask that we stand together, and we're going to pray as we stand. And if you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about being saved, we'll have someone counsel with you about it. I'll ask ladies to come. Men, if you're here and you need to get baptized because you're saved and join the church, why don't you come and we'll help you with that? Amen. All right, let them come. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. You come as God speaks to your heart. Amen and amen. Yeah. Don't procrastinate. Now's the time. Right here. Now's the time. Amen. Two young ladies just came. And wait here. And we have one young lady is Asia. Where's Asia? I know you, Asia. And did you trust the Lord as your Savior? Amen. And you're going to get baptized, right? Okay. No, they do. I know that. And this young lady right here, what's your name, honey? Tamaya. Okay, Tamaya. And I'm going to have someone talk to you.
Ms. Parker. Are you? This is Tamaya. We have a slip on. She's got permission. Lord? Yeah, she's accepted the Lord and she has permission. So all you need to do is kind of help her get ready. Show
okay.
Her. No, no, no. Oh, yes, yes. Yes, yes, we are.
Mickey, we mentioned becoming a member of the church and building yourself up on your most holy faith. Mickey was inactive for a while. He was persona non grata for a while, and then he reappeared, and he's been very faithful, and we appreciate that, Mickey, with Sunday school, with church, and Mickey wants to reactivate his membership. He's from Carbondale, so pastor and deacons recommend that Mickey be accepted back into the membership of the church. Do I have a motion? All right, Dorothy, a second. Joyce, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? All right, Mickey, you're welcome back in. Thank you. All right. Amen. And we do have a couple of others. Let me see here if I have them that came for the same purpose. Alvin. Is Alvin Lemon here? Alvin Lemon? Where's Alvin? All right. Alvin, you wanted to come back into the membership. Is that correct? Active membership? All right. So Alvin wanted to come back in. I have a slip for that. He's trusted the Lord and been baptized by immersion, but he wants to reactivate. So pastor and deacons recommend that Alvin Lemon be reactivated as a member of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. So I have a motion to that effect. All right. Jesse and Joyce, all in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? All right, then that is carried as well. And Bridget, where is Bridget? Oh, there she is, right over there, Bridget Smith. And Bridget, you want to reactivate your membership, right? All right, she's a little shy, but she wants to reactivate. Put the date down there.
Oh.
All right, so let me do this again. Bridget, pastor and deacon recommend that Bridget be accepted in the membership of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Amen. So all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that's carried. And we had two people, I didn't mention them, Jesse and Betsy, that went along with that recommendation. Okay. All right, then... Tristan, let me see this here. Tristan Barr, right? And what city are you from, Tristan?
Scranton.
Scranton, wonderful. And you came with you. All right, wonderful. We're so glad. And Tristan accepted the Lord as his Savior. Wonderful. Make it public. So, all right, let me shake your hand, buddy. All right, keep coming, man. All right, very good. I'm going to put that there for Tristan. And Bridget over here, and let me see if I have any others. Hey, you could be seated for a moment. All right, let me see if I have any others here. Ah, okay. Eduardo, I have Eduardo here. Eduardo is right over here, and Eduardo came on Brother Matt's bus, and he came forward and trusted the Lord as his Savior. Amen. Praise God for that. Eduardo, wonderful, wonderful. All right, we're going to start with baptism, so let's have our first baptism. Yeah, this is Asia. That's right.
Asia, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Upon your profession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Right, Asia wants to join. She's from Matt's bus route. So pastor and deacon recommend that Asia be accepted into the membership by her baptism and profession of faith. Do I have a motion from a member? All right, Joyce again. Someone else? Bobby? All right. Been made and seconded. Let me just put this down here. Bobby and Joyce. All right. It's been made and seconded. Pastor and deacon recommend that. So, all in favor of accepting Asia into the membership, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? All right. That then is carried. Wonderful. Amen. And amen. All right. Very good. Let me just put that over here so we have it. And all of these over here. And we did Bridget. All right, we have another baptism coming up here.
Is this Tobias?
Tamaya?
Tamaya.
Tamaya, I got it.
This is Tamaya, and she's on Brother Matt's bus. This is all Brother Matt's bus today. A lot of them. Good job on getting the slips, Matt. Amen. That's Tamaya. She said she wants to join the church. I said, how old are you? She said six. And we have permission slips. So Pastor and Deacon recommend that Tamaya be accepted into the membership. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And we're doing a little less suffering now that we have more organization. All right. Bobby, so moves. I need a second. Jesse Goble. Jesse, so moves. All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? All right, that is carried. Praise God for that. Tamaya is a member as well of our church. Yeah, we got all that there. That is wonderful. Oops, I'm losing my cards. All right, we'll put that right there. And we have that. I believe we have Eduardo is coming. So we're going to let Eduardo come in Bangor, and he trusted the Lord as his Savior. There he is. He's here. Praise God.
Eduardo, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you.
Amen. Hey, guess what? That's another one from Matt's bus route. All right. I signed these guys up. Pastor and Deacon recommend that Eduardo be accepted into the membership of Scranton Revival Baptist Church by his salvation and baptism. Do I have a motion from a member? All right. Diane Payone, seconded by Betsy. All in favor, signify by saying aye. All right, that's carried. Hey, you're dismissed to go down and get your banana split.
Pastor, here we have a candy.
Good.